What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either.
Really.
Say scratch that again.
Scratch that again.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happy Monday.
Here we are. Okay, so today's episode, we're kind of thinking about one of those resource life hack. I don't know if that's what we would call it. Like a lightning bolt, good idea episode to share with our listeners. And one of my favorite things about your brain is that you are kind of like always finding the system and getting in there and hacking it and designing a way of thinking about something that helps us just like survive a little bit more, find something sustainable, figure out really practically and tangibly and creatively how to navigate tricky parts of life. And so I know that you have this framework that you've developed for when we feel frozen or overwhelmed, or like when we don't know where to start and we just kind of like look out at the great mess and think like, I can't take one breath forward. You have created a system for that very moment. So can you tell us all a little bit about the origin story of this framework, like how it came to be?
The thing is, the basis is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Where do you begin? Because I find myself so often, quite literally standing in the middle of the room, just kind of turning circles, being like, I don't know, like feeling immobilized by overwhelm, all the options with terror. And so just over and over again, I keep creating these supports for myself that are like, how to start when you don't know where to start, how to use what you have right now, how to like be okay when you're not okay. It's kind of like all of them. And they've spread out in many different forms, but I have consolidated them into a class called Start Where You Are. And I'm trying to bring all of these pieces in. I think, you know, as you're making stuff, you don't realize how connected all the pieces are until you've had some distance from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing how much a lot of the things that I've made coalesce into this like one idea. And so I've been in the process of revamping this online course to just hold so much more nuance and space and for it to be a container for as many different ways as you could use it as a launch pad into other things.
I like that image of you in the middle of the room, like literally like turning in circles and looking and like, I don't know where to begin. Because part of that is like, I can picture it and like, my house is a disaster. I am at the mercy of this like chaos. But I'm also thinking of it in terms of like, the world is a disaster chaos zone. How do I step into this? I'm powerless to this chaos. So, I mean, like both ends of the spectrum.
It's both of those things. And I've used it to be like, I don't know what to create right now. What do I make? So the very origin of this, I think I was in 2017, 2018 is when the Stockley verdict came out in St. Louis. There was a lot of uprisings and actions. And I was feeling a lot of overwhelm around, what does activism look like for me? What do I do? Like, what do I have? How can I offer it? And how can I offer it sustainably? And so I made this letterpress print. And it says, start with what you have, a little reflection guide for when you don't know where to begin. And it guides people through just saying, like, what do you have? And I break down the things that you have as time, energy, money, skills, and access. And I list a bunch of prompts here about like, just what are the things that you have access to? So making a list of those and then cross-referencing that with a list as you look around your community, the wider world, your immediate context, whatever the situation is, what are the needs? And then how do you cross-reference those? And how do you cross-reference them in really sustainable ways? There's things that you could do I think about this in terms of like, what could you do as a quick burst, like as a sprint, and what could you sustain for a long period of time, more as like a marathon? And I don't think either of those is better or worse, but they're distinctly different actions that you could take. And around the time that I was kind of like birthing this idea, I attended some actions and protests, and it was not the space for my nervous system. Felt like I was probably a liability being there. And so I went to a few of them, and then I was like, this is not the way that I am going to be able to show up well. And I did this flow before I had really made it with a few friends, where it was like, okay, what do we have? And part of what I had was a lot of anxiety and trauma and a dysregulated nervous system. So something that I had was actually a limitation. It was information about like where I couldn't be. And that was the thing that I had. And also I had this huge, gorgeous loft right in downtown St. Louis, streets away from where many of these protests were happening. And as I looked around my community, I saw the activists, the people who are out there nightly for a period of time, were so exhausted. They were worn. They needed a safe place to collapse. They needed to be fed. And so I started collaborating with friends and people in our community. And we started this project where we just fed people. We just like opened my loft. People would just like come in and collapse everywhere, and we would just feed them.
Oh, wow.
And so in the immediate part, the like sprint part, was that we did it weekly, and it was a lot, and we were generating a lot. And as the need shifted and our capacities also shifted, it turned into a monthly practice that was a little more, instead of like emergent resources for like in the moment, it was like resourcing people to build sustainability and give them better skills or more skills for coping. And so we would bring practitioners in. This is like a long, rambly story.
No, this is great.
But this is, so that is one way that this framework helped me, was just getting, I think it's so much, the reason I create these frameworks for myself is because I need to like, I described this to someone the other day as like pulling taffy apart. Like everything is spiraling so fast and it's out of control. And I need to like slow motion all of the stuff. And the way that I do that is giving myself these like really clear steps.
I love that picture.
And also this is like how I figure out what I'm going to make or what I'm feeling, or in a moment, I have this so locked into my brain that in a moment when I start panicking, I can be like, okay, what do I have? One of the things I often have, or like a need, I've broken it down as like have and need and want. So what I have, I might be in my car. I might have 10 minutes. I might have paper and I might have pen. What I need is to like calm myself down to regulate because I'm like anxious. And so I could make a body map. I could do a mind map. I could do like a scribble drawing. So this also works in like a really granular way for me, where it's like just pausing and trying to reframe for myself. It feels very kind of anti-capitalist to me in a way. I've like referred to it as an anti-capitalist manifesto, because it's really stopping you and being like, you, if you can only use the things that you already have access to, what could you do with them? What are all of the like ways that you could pull them together?
A practice for recognizing that actually you have a lot. Like if you are stopping and assessing and looking at, and you know what else I'm really intrigued by in the way you've described this is, I know you've broken this down into like have, need, and
well, where are you? So just identifying your place, the context that you're in, and then what do you have? And I define have, the things that you have are time, energy, money, skill, access, and like capacity, your spoons, that would be a thing that you have. And then what do you need? What are the immediate needs? And then also, what do you want? What would bring pleasure?
Yeah.
And then the key thing is like, okay, how do these all connect? How do I weave this web together so that they're all in relationship to each other?
But what I really like about the way you described that, that felt a little bit like a flip of how I would traditionally think about it, is that limitation is a part of that assessment. Like it's not just like what is here, not just what you have an abundance of, but what you have maybe a lack in or a strain in. And I think that's really interesting to bring that into the recipe.
Thinking of it as a creative constraint. Like
yes.
as someone who's like trained as a designer, we're com- always, my job is always to first identify our constraints and then what is the maximum that I can do within that container.
Yes.
And usually the container is what breeds creativity, like necessity is the mother of all invention or whatever. Like that, a need inspires. And I think it's this, which we talk about all the time, is coming with this trickster energy to like, let it be light, let it be playful. A phrase I use is that like, you already have everything that you need, which does presume a level of having things that you actually fucking need. But I think for the majority of us, we have what we need. And our needs are like much smaller than maybe what we think they are. This is definitely not like you can manifest your way out of something or like,
No.
I want to be so clear that this is not like bootstrappy. This is not like if you just like had a positive attitude, you could do it. And also I'm like, so often I think we're just stuck in this spiral of like terror. And the way to get out of that is to flip it and make it a game. Be like, okay, do I only have $100 to feed the four people in my household this week? Like, how do I gamify that so that it doesn't feel like so stress, trauma, like upsetting? It's like a fucking game. It's like, all right, how do I make the most like nourishing, fun, exciting meals for everyone using this amount of money? And where are all the places I can get it? And like, so that's the energy I'm wanting to cultivate, not discounting that like shit is hard, stuff is fucked up. And also, a lot of that I don't have control over, but I do have control over what I already have. And so, like, what the fuck could I do with that?
That reminds me of stories you've told about your house growing up and the, like, all we have is what's in our cupboards. What are we going to make? Like, that sort of that scrappiness that we talk about a lot.
I remember that as such a playful thing. And now, like, I'm sure that there was, like, a level of panic or just, like, that it did not feel playful for my mom, but she would just like would make things a game where it was like, okay, we're not going to the grocery store for this many days. And so what do we have? Like, what can you make? And it was fucking fun.
My dad would make lunch every Sunday. And part of the game was like using all the leftovers that we had. And a lot of times it would just end up the leftovers would just end up in our mashed potatoes. So we would have like spaghetti bits in our mashed potatoes, or like,
oh my God, that's horrible.
Green frosting in our mashed potatoes. Like, not every week, but I mean, like, and I also remember that as just like a game, like, a little weird delight that we would laugh about every week. But also, as we're talking about limitation as being part of the recipe, it reminds me of the conversation we had at the Cash Bowls too about like how that framework of like limitation is part of the artistry, the specificity and the beauty of the thing that you make is in the limitation. That's part of the recipe, which I think is really cool that you're building that into this. Do you want to talk about how this has evolved, this course?
Yeah, this has had so many iterations. I have run this as like little workshops that is mostly about art making. So it's like, what do you have access to right now? How much time do you have? Really tapping into or challenging the idea when people are like, I don't have time to make art. And I'm like, that is so much bullshit. We've been making art forever. And I think your idea of what art is like, needs to shift. So I've run this as workshops where it's like, you have 2 minutes, you have these tools, what do you make? And what do you need the art? What do you need the process of making art to offer you? Like, do you need this to calm you down? Do you need to like release something? Do you need to express or document? So that's one form. It's like very, very specific, very little. And then what this has like really evolved into is this 5-week online course that I also run in person. Last summer, I ran it in person with my friend Morgan, and it was so fucking beautiful. We like did it by candlelight in the evenings, and it was like a spiritual practice. It was so much less about like these practical things. I was so intrigued by how it shifted, because the thing for me that's been the most beautiful about this framework and the different ways that I've brought it to various groups of people is how much it can hold and morph and like grow with what the needs of the group is or the individual. But I definitely think this can feel like a spiritual practice. Like it was, we were like crying and it was like sweet. And we were talking about like mindset shifts and beliefs and how we want to move through the world. So it's kind of like this big picture thing. And then the online one, it feels kind of like a mix of those two things. And what I have been weaving in and really thinking about is like how many different resources can I tuck into each of these sections? So each week is like the first week is, where are you? And I have people, this is my favorite one because people are like, where am I? I don't know. I'm like right here in this chair in St. Louis, or it's like, I'm this old. And I'm just like, okay, and now every single context possible. And we draw maps of where we are, kind of this like cartography of existence. Like, where are you in your lifespan? Where are you in your like dreams? Where are you financially? Where are you in the actual world? Where do you live? What's your neighborhood? What's your street? So that's where are you? And then we say, what do you have? And that one is so juicy because I think we just like forget all the stuff that we have and in how many different areas. Because you might not be like super financially rich, but you might have like these incredible skills or like access to this space you hadn't thought of. So that one is so fun to just like tease out all the things that you have. Or maybe you don't have very much time, but you have like this extra resource of like money or space. I don't know.
Or people, you know, I'm thinking of like the people that you, like who are the relationships that you have or who are the.
Yes. Yes. Another super specific is that we started working on this spreadsheet. I think it was a spreadsheet through the in-person class. And we were talking about how in your community of people, that if everyone easily knew what everyone had and everyone knew what everyone needed, that we could like meet each other's needs so much easier. And we were talking about the like sustainability of support and help for each other and asking the person like already knowing what someone has to give and kind of like, okay, so if you're having a baby and people are like, let me know if you need anything. Such a generous, kind offer. And also it's like, I don't know what is a big ask or not a big ask of you. And so we're talking about in those situations to send someone a list. Be like, these are the things, these are the resources I have. This is what my time looks like. This is what feels really easy and fun for me to do. This might feel harder, but I can do it. So then we can ask each other with like way more confidence and like joy so that the giving and the receiving is reciprocal and like equally joyful. That part just like made me so fucking excited to be like, what if instead of like needing to just like ask broadly, like we were already telling each other what we had to give. And those things that we gave are just like what is bubbling out and over and is actually like the act of giving is like a receiving for us because it's such a fun, enjoyable, accessible thing. Because my whole goal with this is to reframe this idea of if you haven't given until it hurts, you haven't given at all, which was this like narrative drilled into me in church as a kid. And I'm still like, if I am doing something and it is not hard or difficult, if I don't suffer, then I haven't done enough. And I'm trying to just be like, that is fucking stupid. That's not sustainable. And I want to be giving. I want people to know that when I like give something to them of my like time, my energy, my efforts, whatever it is, that was just like generous extra like delight. Not that I don't ever go out of my way for someone, but I just wanted to feel so much. I want it to feel really light. I want to feel like a gift that I give is not that you don't have to feel like I suffered to give you something.
Yeah, it's joyful. And there's an abundance in what you've described. It also feels like very counter to, I think you talked about it being like an anti-capitalist manifesto, but it feels very counter to this idea of like islands, like all of these little islands where we are like stockpiling our resources because we need to be able to live independently and separately. It feels much more like an older way of being in community. I like that. I like that picture so much. The abundance, the joyfulness, the connectedness. Nobody has to be an island.
Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying. So the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show.
So we're talking about this set of resources. It's evolved, this structure, this offering that you have for people, specifically thinking about if people were to sign up for more of this and think about joining a class with you. What do you see as the main goal, or this class is for anyone who what is the
I have this hope that people would move through the course first, almost just to understand this as a mindset or way of being. I return to this over and over and over again. This does not feel like something that you take once and then it's done. There's so many ways to approach it, so many iterations, so many ways to understand it. In each module, or these 5 different sections, I have art prompts, I have writing prompts, I have essays to read, I have video researches. Resources, lectures that other people have done. And then I am creating these series of videos that are me just kind of talking about what the idea is to me. And my hope is that people move through it and take the things that feel useful to them in that moment and move through, and then return to it over and over again. And that each module can kind of stand alone. And in a way, you can start. Just because I start it with where are you, sometimes your need is so big, you need to start there. So it's what do you need? Identifying that really clearly, getting that off your chest, and then come back to what do you have or want or where are you? And so my goal is that then when people find themselves stuck in a space, they could come return to that module, to those resources that I've gathered, and be like, oh, okay, here's how I understand what I have. Because I think each of these sections could be its own, completely own thing to understand how to place yourself in context, how to understand where you are, or how to understand what you want, which feels like the trickiest thing often.
Yeah, yeah.
So I view this as, it feels, I want to be specific, and also I feel like it's so broad in the ways that people can use it. I think you can take one specific thing through this flow or process that I have. You're I'm feeling stuck and I'm wanting to start a new project. How do I do it? So you can be so specific. What is the project I want to do, and come through this flow? You also could approach this as I want to shift the way that I'm thinking about moving through the world, and think of it in that way. And my hope is that people return to it over and over, and that I offer enough options and resources that it could support you in multiple spaces. Because that's how I'm using this. I'm returning to this over and over. The essays, the videos, the resources in here, I'm coming back to these again and again, depending on where I am.
It sounds also, I keep thinking about that image that you gave at the beginning about the taffy and pulling the taffy. It feels like I imagine anybody who needs to take a beat to reflect on some of these really big picture questions to orient ourselves. I think I'm not alone, and I'm not the first person to say that everything around us is just moving so fast, and there's so much of it. And for someone to be able to sit with us for a bit and really ground ourselves and pull that taffy really slowly, I think it seems like a practice for anyone who's feeling the need for that.
Yeah, this for me is the container within which I can slow everything down, get methodical,
intentional,
intentional, like pull the like tangles where it gets so, everything is spinning so fast. And I call it this like white hot blur where I just can't see through it. And I have to slow it down so I can start like pulling apart each piece so I can see each strand and understand and then weave them back into something that makes sense instead of this like knotted ball. Because I think we all have, we have so many things accessible to us, but we've been given this like very strict prescribed way of moving through the world and a strict way of using things. I think about this when I watch Charlie play and how some toys are so prescriptive and some are open-ended. And I think just overall, we've been given this really prescribed way to move through the world. Like, this is the order in which you do these things. This is the way that you live. This is how you're independent. And I think there's just so much more possibility and we have access to so much stuff. And like always, but now more than ever.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we harness the stuff that we have and support each other and do it while having a good fucking time?
Yeah.
Like, how do we make this play? Like, how do we understand, you know, uses of the erotic? Like, how are we understanding pleasure as this like tool and resource to move through difficult things, or it being this like the way that Audre Lorde talks about it being like your life force, like the very essence of you should be rooted in pleasure and desire and excitement. And that's what's going to propel us forward. And also like what a brilliant act of resistance to just be having a great time sharing resources and using what we already have. Like what if not, okay, and this is, I still use Amazon. But like, what if not using Amazon was like the most fun game? And like, what if we had the best time not
using it? Or just being really intentional about how we do, right? Like,
yes, yeah.
Because I also, I like to throw Amazon under the bus, but I, yes.
It's so easy to be like, boo Amazon, and then to just like go and order that thing that you need. You know, I was having, this would be great from this course to make like a big resource list. I'm planning this kids' pride event.
Oh, yeah.
Our meeting last time, we were like listing stuff that we need. And we were like, okay, where are we getting it? If we're not shopping at Target, if we're not shopping at Amazon, like where are we buying? And I'm like, okay, there are other places to get this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not front of mind.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
It's not front of mind. And it is not the ease of it. And I think some of this, while it's like, how do we root this in pleasure? How do we also get past the fact that it needs to be immediate and the cheapest possible and super easy? Like something not being easy doesn't mean it's bad or not like fun. Like you could make, it's like take the scenic route. And also we might end up ordering a few things from Amazon because we're doing this on a shoestring budget. So it's like, it's both and.
Right.
Zero judgment. But my point is like, how do we make it play and fun and not this like big scary shame thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really juicy.
So if you want more of this in a structured way, you could check out the course. But also just like start making your own list of where are you right now? What do you have? And gathering, create your own framework and structure for this. I think it's, there's just so much power in creating your own like slow motion container to understand the context of where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because these days, so I have such an image in my head of like belly crawling, like moving really slow and really tethered to the earth. And like, I think that what you're describing makes me, like it's pulling taffy or it's belly crawling. Like it's something slow, it's something grounded, it's something tactile and possible. And it feels really timely. It seems like in a lot of different ways we can use this like prompt for slowing down and figuring out where we are and the tiny little ways we can begin moving in a direction.
Slow, small, near the earth, refusing despair, like it just stubbornly choosing to have a great time while doing it, how to make it fun. I feel like I want people to identify something they need and something they have to give. And I want to give them an assignment. I want them to like text a friend and be like, here are three things that I could offer you easily this week. Or like if you have a group text thread, just be like, hey, here are things that I can offer. Here are things that I need. and report back. What happens when you, what is the response when you send a friend just saying like, hey, here's some things I have to offer this week. Like just that in itself feels really beautiful to be so specific and to know that they're just things that you have to freely, excitedly give. And it could be like, I would love to take a walk this week. Like I have time to take a walk, or I made extra chili. Can I drop some on your doorstep? Like this doesn't need to be huge. And your need could be like, I need someone to food prep with me. Or I think getting really specific and letting it be small. I think we think we have to solve everyone's problems or it has to be huge. And that's not how stuff moves forward. It moves really, really slowly. And it's not sustainable.
Thank you for, I'm so grateful that your brain works the way that it does and that you could share some of that with us.
Thanks for asking me so many questions. This is great. This is generating so much excitement in me in this process of redoing this course and thinking about it, all the iterations that it has taken. I think it's taken me years. I mean, I've been thinking through these ideas for years. And as I look back now, I feel like I have the space and distance to understand how they're woven together. And that feels so exciting. Just like,
it's like your life's work and or like this decade's work or something, like all coming together.
Yeah, it does. It does kind of feel like that. And it feels so useful for right now, both for myself and as an offering for other people. See you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
The self-paced Start Where You Are course drops on May 12th, next Monday. It's $75 for 5 weeks/5 modules of exercises, resources, prompts, and it is something that you can return to as many times as you want, again and again. And I hope you'll join me.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.